Hallelujah. 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 I'm just going to go ahead and preach. I hope that's all right. I didn't mean to wake you up so soon. Amen. You see, if you made your way here this morning, that means you've come to hear a word from the Lord. You took time out of your busy week and you bundled all up and you got the car nice and warm and you cleaned it off. Why? Because you know that God is getting ready to do something in your life today. And I'm thankful that you're here today. I'm so thankful and honored to be a part of what God is doing in Northeast Ohio. God has blessed my life tremendously. He's put some great men like Brother Ellis in my life and also his dad. I like more. I like him more right now. He just gave me a check for $1,000. Praise God. Our church appreciates that, and only God knows our need. We can play tricks and not that we deceive people, but we like to put on a happy face. But God knows our need, and God will take care if you follow Him. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you just for a few moments. If you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 16, and also Proverbs chapter 4, just a few verses in your hearing this morning. And he told me I could preach for 3 hours if I wanted to, so I hope you're ready to be here a while. We are so thankful to be here once again. I give honor to my former youth pastor, Brother Anderson. Great man of God. I love him and appreciate his sense of humor. And he's one of those people that when you're going through something, he just knows what to say to cheer you up. That's right. I thank God for people like that in my life. Amen. And he's been a blessing to me. And I love Sister Allison. We go way back, all the way back to, my goodness, probably 20 years now. And it's so good that to see them serving the Lord and doing what they're called to do, supporting a pastor and loving God, loving people. That's so good to see. And I'm honored to be there with them and labor among them. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. I'm glad I know that there are people that love God and love God's work and are willing to sacrifice for His work, for the greater will to be done. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 6. If you would stand with me as we read the word this morning, please. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, 27. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. And remove thy foot from evil. Let me read that verse again. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all of thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Turn to your neighbor and say, watch where your feet go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful of the direction you're heading in. Think about the direction you are going and be careful of where you allow your feet to take you. Praise God. Praise God. I want to preach to you just for a few moments on proven paths. Proven paths, the name, the word, and the blood. Let's pray that God speaks to us today. Can we do that? Would you lift your hands, put your Bible down, lift your hands to the Lord and ask Him to speak to your heart right now. Jesus, we love you. God, we're open to what you want to do in this place this morning. We're hungry for you, Lord. We're thirsty for you. God, we've been through so much this week, and Lord, we need to find rest for our souls today. And God, I didn't come just for a touch from you, Lord. I came for a word from you. Lord, let me hear your voice in this place. God, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay, the limited man that I am, God, to be able to minister your word and your spirit to this precious people, God, that I see before me. Pray, Lord, that you would move in my heart and on my lips right now. In the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you clap your hands one more time to the Lord? You may be seated, but don't get too comfortable. I like interaction. Please respond if I'm preaching and if I'm doing a good job. Not that I want your affirmation. Just agree with me in the Lord. Amen. Let us agree together. Proven past the name, the word, and the blood. I believe that the church's best days are ahead of us. How many believe that our best days have yet to come? Amen. I really believe this, and with all of my heart, what I see God doing in this region, what I see God doing in our movement, what I see God doing, I believe truly that our best days have not been lived out. And you see, I don't want to make this statement just based on that I'm a younger minister. I'm only 35 years young, and I've got a lot of life ahead of me. I'm thankful that I'm young. I don't say that because of all the talent. See, I believe we have the best preachers. This brother right here can preach. And I love when he gets excited. I love that. I love to see God move on us. All of the talent that I see around me, all of the great people that I've come in contact with, being a student of Purpose Institute, I believe the church's best days are ahead of us. You see, I don't also want to say that to make a blanket statement to make me feel better about my past. See what I'm saying? I've had an inconsistent past, so I don't want to just say that my best days are ahead of me because I've been unfaithful to God. See, I've come to encourage you that God is ready to do in our lives, this very moment, this very generation, what he's never done.
Praise God.
He's ready.
Amen.
He's willing. Amen. We know from what we've read and what we've heard that he's able to.
Praise God.
But the question is, are we willing to believe it for ourselves? That God will do what he's never done before. See, I want to encourage you that what he's never done, he's always planned and purposed to do in you and in me. See, God is in control. Nothing escapes God's eyes or his presence or his ability or his wisdom or his knowledge. God is in complete control. Don't you believe for one second that all the mess that you see and all the stuff going on outside of these doors that God is ignoring. Don't believe for a moment that because you don't have the answer to your prayer right now that God doesn't care. Because God is in control. We serve a sovereign, wise God. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? You see, God cares about you and he cares about me and he knows what you're going through. He knows about the struggle and he simply cares and he's in control. See, only Jesus, only he really knows what each of us individually need. He knows all about the secret struggles, brother. He knows all about them temptations, sister. Only Jesus knows what each of us really need. Rest with the blessed assurance that He knows the condition of your life. God has got it. Don't worry. Don't get too stressed out. Don't get all discombobulated and worried about what's going on. God has it. Don't grow impatient. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to rush things. Stay hand in hand, step in step with the ways and the will of God, because He has it. Hold on a minute now. You got to stay with Him. See, when we rush ahead, we frustrate ourselves because we think we're smarter than God. And all of you are saying, no, I don't. Yes, you do. You think you know more than God does. You think your ways are better than His ways sometimes. But what did He say to Isaiah? For my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For my ways are higher than the heavens. And then He said, so shall my word be that wherever I send it, it will be accomplished what I want it to do. I know I'm not quoting it verbatim, but you get the point. It's Isaiah 55. Whatever God says, He will do. Amen. It's not finished yet. God has it. He knows of the struggles, the pain, the temptation. But thank God, thank Jesus that He is here right now. He's here right now, this moment. He's an eternal God. He knows the beginning from the end, from everlasting to everlasting. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God has it. Right now, here in our midst, would anybody testify that when I was weary, He gave me rest? And when I was weak, somehow He gave me strength. When I was sick in my body or sick in my mind, somehow God provided the healing. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to an apostolic church. There ought to be something inside of you that says, God has it, and God can, and God will. He's got it. I can rest assured that when I was depressed, I didn't have to go to the doctor. I didn't have to go see a psychiatrist. I'm not against that. But you see, when I was depressed, I came to the Lord, and somehow He gave me joy. When I was in need, somehow He made provision. Just like Abraham was on Mount, I believe it was Mount Moriah, I could be wrong, but just like Abraham was ready to plunge that knife into the heart of his son, the Lord shall provide Himself a sacrifice. When I was in need, when I was without, somehow He made provision for me. Praise God. Come on, we need to serve and share our testimony. We've got to get the word out of how good of a God we serve and how great of a God we have. You see, we cannot afford to be closet Christians anymore.
That's right. Praise God.
Look at the condition of your world.
Right.
You see, a few years ago, 20, 30 years ago, 75% of this nation claimed to be Christian. People would just come and visit your church. Guess what? They don't come anymore just to visit your church. There's a few. If we don't go, if we don't tell, if we don't speak, answer me something, who will? share your story of how good your God is. Don't be ashamed. Paul said it this way, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation. What you have will save your soul. It's not just something fun to do. It's not just something good to be a part of or some great feeling you receive. It's the power of God to save you from hell and damnation and the grave. We need a refreshing of how great our God is and how wonderful this gospel is that God has shared us. Aren't you thankful for the truth? That you're no longer deceived, that you know what the truth is because of a gracious God. Amen, amen, amen. He made provision for me. I serve a way maker and a life giver. There is no other God like that. No other religion that can claim that their God is a healer and a way maker. I serve a God that can and will do anything to reach a soul. Who can compare to that?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
See, I believe that God is wanting us to make wherever we go an atmosphere of faith. I believe, don't you, that God can and will do anything that we haven't seen all of his capabilities yet, that we haven't seen all of his power, that there's a revival on the way. Matter of fact, it's already here because Jesus said, look to the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. Amen. And we always, I don't know about you, but growing up, I always heard about this end time revival and what's God's going to do in the end time. My friend, Jesus already said, look and see, it's already and I'm not against that type of preaching. Don't misquote what I'm trying to say. I believe that in the end time, God will pour more people into our churches than he ever has before because they're going to need him. An atmosphere of faith. You see, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Whether it's a good day for you or a bad day for you, God made it just for you. Amen. So you might as well put a smile on your face and a song in your heart and do what David said. I will rejoice in the Lord and be glad in it. This is the day that God has given me.
Amen.
Amen. See, as the people of God, I think there should be an expectancy for God's will to be done in his people.
Praise God.
I'm expecting God to answer my prayer.
Amen. Amen.
I'm hungry for God to answer my prayer. I'm thirsty for God to answer my prayer. I'm looking for God wherever I go. My feet are focused and going in the right direction. I'm expecting God to touch my life, to answer my prayer, to move upon the situation. I'm expecting God to touch my body. I'm expecting God to restore my mind. I'm expecting God to fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's a promise. Amen. I'm expecting God to do something in me. When we earnestly seek him and his ways, God will answer prayer. There seems to be a lie from the enemy that God doesn't answer prayers. He only answers the little ones. He only answers the ones like this. God bless this food that we are about to receive. Thank you, Lord, for providing it for us. Keep me from getting sick as I eat this junk. See, those are the prayers we think God will answer. But what about the prayer that says, Lord, give me 100 souls by the end of this year. Lord, I need you to touch this situation over there because I can't do it on my own, God. Lord, I need you to move in this situation because I'm not sure if I can hold on much longer. Amen. Expect God to answer your prayer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. See, as a young pastor, I'm not much younger than Brother Ellis. I know he hungers just like I do to see lives forever changed. I yearn to see broken lives put back together. I long to see addicts delivered from drugs and alcohol and all that mess. I'm ready for it, brother. I'm hungry for it. I want to see the sinner saved. I want to see myself saved. I'm still a sinner. Don't ever forget that you still need a Savior. And I long for revival in every city, every village, every town, every neighborhood. We barely scratched the surface. I want to see it. I want to be a part of it. Amen. I want to be involved and engaged in the revival that God desires to give.
Praise God. Praise you, Jesus.
But I must be in His will. I must place myself in prayer and position myself near Jesus. I'm going to say that again for you. I must place myself in prayer and position myself where Jesus can talk to me. I cannot ignore my responsibility to find an altar and get alone with God if that is the future I desire. I must place my personal agendas on hold and surrender my will for the sake of the call that God has placed on my life. If I am willing to trust Him with my life and my dreams, I'm willing to trust Him. I'm willing to say, okay, God, have your way. Let your will be done. Not my will, Lord, but your will. When I'm willing to do that and trust Him with my life and my dreams, perhaps I can confidently say the best is yet to come. That's why I want to say that my best days are not behind me, nor is the best days that this church has ever seen behind us. You see, the success of your future and my future depends on our willingness to surrender our will to His. How far are you willing to go for Him? What are you willing to give up for Him? See, God has called each and every one of you. He called me to pastor. He called me to be a preacher. That's the office that God called for me.
Praise God. Praise God.
But He called each and every one of us to tell the truth and to share this great God that we serve. I must be willing to surrender my will to His. How many of you have ever heard this statement? It doesn't matter where you come from or where you've been. All that matters is where you're going. How many have ever heard that? Doesn't matter where you've been, where you come from. All that matters is where you're going. That may sound good to you. It may give you some hope. I'm not against the statement completely, but you see, it sounds like someone said that who was afraid to take responsibility of their past. When God looks at us, He sees what we can be, not what we are. I believe that. But there's got to come a time and a day where I recognize who I am and what I've done. And I've got to say, God, I'm sorry.
Praise God.
We've got to take responsibility for what we've done and what we've been. So people say it doesn't matter what you've done, where you come from. It matters where you're going. You see, the reality is that the decisions that I make today will affect tomorrow. What convictions I have right now will affect my future. Whether I'm willing or not to spend time in prayer and fasting will affect the anointing that I receive from the Lord to minister His word. The time that I take out today will either enable me or disable me to function in the office I'm called to. See, the decisions I make today will affect my tomorrow. A landmark is defined as an object that marks the boundary of land. There's several. I'm only going to give you two for the sake of time. An object like a stone or a tree or a fence post that marks the boundaries of a land. A landmark can be defined as an event or a development that marks a turning point or a stage in someone's life. How many of you have ever had a landmark event occur in your lifetime? Some are good, some are bad. But it was a day that marked you. It was a day that you changed. It was something happened to you that day where you remember it more than the other days.
That's right.
See, I can remember landmarks like the day I was married and how happy of a man I was, because I knew I found the woman that God gave to me. She's a gift from the Lord.
Praise God.
Landmark event. Special time. I remember the day my first child was born. Her name's Taylor. Can't believe she's already 11 years old. But I remember watching her being delivered and how happy I was because she was healthy. See, landmark events. I remember the day I was called to preach. I was at His daddy's church for She's for Christ Master Rally. And I remember Brother Gimple coming and praying for me. And I remember God speaking to me. I'm calling you to preach my word. Don't worry, I'll provide everything you need. Landmark events. So throughout our life, we have momentous occasions. We face different ages and stages and cycles of life. Some moments we remember more than others. Some days we want to forget. Some days we regret ever happened. The day we lost our temper. The day we said something we shouldn't have said. The day we lost control and the fuse was lit, and before we knew it, tears were flowing. We let anger get the best of us. But what about the day you were saved from death? What about the day that Jesus reached down and picked you up and pulled you out and put your feet on solid ground? Aren't those wonderful moments to remember and reflect on? And I can say, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. Stay with me here. I know we're kind of dimming down a little bit, but I'm going to preach here in just a second. I realize that we cannot live in our past. We don't accomplish much thinking about the good old days. Matter of fact, we can get caught up in the good old days and we can deceive ourselves in thinking that's the best it's ever going to be. But every once in a while, we need to remember where God brought us from. Amen. And what he's done in our life. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let Christ be confirmed in me. Let my walk confirm that Christ is in me, that Christ is operating in my life and in my situation. He's operating in my finances. He's operating in my career. He's operating in how I live my life. By the decisions I make, the convictions that I have, let Christ be confirmed in me. We do so much harm to ourselves by dwelling on the past, our regrets and our failures, our brokenness, that we so often forget about what God has done for us and what God wants to do through us. Remember those times that God supernaturally moved on your behalf for the purpose of knowing who you are in him. Come on, when God looks at you, he doesn't say, I made a mistake. I tell my church this almost every Sunday because I believe it to the very core. When God looks at me, he doesn't say, oops. And say, oh man, I don't know about that one. He may think that at times. But when God looks at you and God looks at me, see, he saved me for a purpose and for a reason. He didn't just save me just because he wants me to be saved from hell, because I came to repentance. No, there's a purpose in mind with you as well. All right, I've got to hurry. The word of the Lord also tells us that landmarks are put in place to give us guidance and boundaries and direction. We're also called to keep them where God has placed them. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have said. I usually don't read from the message, but I like this translation, so forgive me if you preach against that, Brother Ellis. Don't stealthily move back the boundary line staked out long ago by your ancestors. See, God has placed some things in my life to keep me grounded. And they're proven. They work. They've been tested. They've been tried. People can tell me that when I open up the book, God speaks to me. When I come to him in prayer, God's there to listen. That when I was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission or the putting away of my sins, when I came up out of that water, I was a new creature. A brand new man. See, there's some landmarks that God has placed in your life. Landmarks like the Holy Ghost. I wish I had time to preach them all. But let me give you just a few. Proven path number one. One that you cannot ignore and you must have. These are all necessities. proven path. Number one, the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
We cannot leave the Word of God behind.
That's right. Amen.
I'm only getting one amen over here. I appreciate it. Boy, you took it to the T when you said, I want you to be interactive. God bless you, sister. But I need some amens from this side. Cannot forget the Word of God. Don't ever leave it behind. Don't ever think you don't need it. See, the Bible, the inerrant written Word of God. Realize they don't even put it on the best time or all-time bestseller list anymore. For years, it was always in the top 10. They don't even bother anymore. The sales of this book exceed any other book. Been circulated around the globe in every language possible. At the risk of death, people have smuggled the book into many countries. Been translated in part or whole to hundreds of languages, tribal dialects. So if that much sacrifice has been given for this book we call the Bible, I think there ought to be a desire in you and in me to know the Word of God. Not just say it's something good to read. It's not just about a bunch of stories that teach me good character. No, it is the very breath of God spoken to man. Amen. A true desire to know the Word of God in our lives. The Bible has altered the course of millions of lives.
Thank you.
Boy, that's what I call service. Amen. Praise God for the sound guys in the back. Can you give them a round of applause? That is such a blessing in a church. You don't know how much that means to be able to have a wireless microphone. The Bible has altered the course of your life and my life and millions others.
Amen, that's right.
Hasn't it? Book has changed you. Transformed your life. Thousands have given their lives for the Word of God. All of the apostles did. So that it could be preached and shared. Yet it still remains the number one target for literary critics. Is the Bible really true? Did what is written there, did it really happen? I could give you all kinds of facts. But you know that the Bible is true. That Jesus really did come and walk among us to seek and to save that which was lost. That Jesus really did heal the blind Bartimaeus.
Amen.
That Jesus really did touch the woman with the issue of blood.
Amen.
That the day of Pentecost really did happen.
Amen.
That we're all the sons and daughters of Abraham.
Amen.
The father of the faithful.
Hallelujah.
See, the Word really did happen. We're a testimony of that, aren't we? But it's questioned by liberal church leaders. Does this really matter? Does that really matter? Is this really necessary for our salvation? I'm not going to displace any other religion or any other denomination. But you see, if the devil can attack anything and disrupt anything, just like he did in the Garden of Eden, did God really say that?
Praise God.
The Word is true. Amen. Does this church believe that this is the Word of God? Can I have my Bible there? Thank you. Do you really believe in this book?
Yes.
Is it really
a proven path? Has it really been your guidepost? Your boundary? Your keepsake? Your strength when you were weak? Your wisdom when you were foolish? Or does it collect dust? Like Time Magazine and National Geographic and Gulliver's Travels or Moby Dick. To sit on the shelf like another book. See, I don't know about you, but I need God to speak to me by His Word. I can't go by what men say. I can't go by what the world says, obviously. I can't let culture dictate how I'm going to live my life. I've got to have the Word speak to me and keep me and guide me and direct my path. So I need God to speak to me by His Word. One of His greatest desires and challenges is that God could speak to your heart. And many times we chase emotion or entertainment. See, I'm not here to entertain you. I may be entertaining, but that's not the purpose of preaching the Word. The Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, some shall be saved. It's foolish that a man could speak God's Word and bring salvation into someone's life. Amen. That God would use a vessel like me.
Amen.
And speak through me or your pastor so that you could be saved.
Amen.
Praise God.
But that's how much God loves us. So one of His greatest desires is that He could speak to you in your heart. So many times we chase emotion or want to be entertained. But we cannot base our walk by how we feel. Because we have good days, we have bad days, we have mediocre days. We can't serve God based on our emotion.
Praise God.
And I like to feel good. I feel good this morning. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's an emotion. It should cheer you up, by the way. If you come to church and you don't feel good about yourself, there is something seriously wrong with you. Because when I start to clap my hands and raise my voice and lift my hands to my Savior, it feels good. But I can't base my walk with God on emotion or on feelings. See, what God really wants to give you is His Word. He wants you to feel good. He wants to bring the joy of the Lord to be your strength. But what God really desires is for you to hear His voice.
Praise God. Amen.
So we are encouraged to seek after His Word, to search the Scriptures, and to listen for His voice. We are challenged to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. How many times in Revelation does it say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church.
Amen.
So are we listening for the voice of God? Are we looking in the Scripture so God can direct our path? Am I being too long? Am I all right? All right, if I'm too long, just tap me on the shoulder. I'll hurry. I'm kind of long-winded. I know he is too. That's why he said, go ahead. Amen. Is this good? Is this all right? How many are y'all still with me? Nobody's asleep, are you? I thought about bringing a squirt gun, but I thought that'd be too cold and too cruel. But amen. We've been exhorted and encouraged to know God's Word. Does God's Word comfort you? Does it keep you grounded when there seems to be only chaos in your life? to give you truth when there's confusion. You can rest assured that God will speak his word to you when you need an answer. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 4, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's why the word must be a guidepost for you, because every word proceeds out of the mouth of God is what will help you live and survive. The purpose of the word of God. See, we live in a day of non-essentials. That don't matter anymore. We don't need that. Take that stuff out of there. As long as we feel good, as long as we feel all right, as long as we feel good about ourselves and we look successful, we don't need that. Non-essentials. We can talk like we want, dress like we want, drink what we want. How many ever heard of the Silver Lake Church down the road? I saw something on Facebook that shocked me. They're doing weekly what they call theology on tap at a bar. I don't know the bar that they're holding it at or the establishment, but I just thought, really? We're that desperate that we can mingle and mix. See, we need the Word of God. The Bible is our blueprint for walking and living after God. In its pages, we find the means of resuming our journey should we stumble and fall. We learn the hope of the church, our Lord's return of his blood-washed, blood-purchased bride. Aren't you ready for that day? Really? Aren't you ready that he's coming back for you? Everybody okay out there? Well, that went over like a lead balloon. He's coming back for you. He hasn't forgotten about you. Yeah, he's coming back for a blood-purchased bride. Amen. That's okay. It is from the word that we find strength when we are weak. Comfort and companionship when we are lonely. Courage when we're afraid. Encouragement when we're walking in the valley. And enlightenment when we need a better understanding. I heard of a recent survey this week, and it was actually told to me by a coworker. He was telling me he was listening to a radio, and they just took a survey of how many people log into Facebook every day. How many want to take a guess how many people log into Facebook every day? Give me a number.
1 million.
1 million. Anybody else think it's more than that?
10 million.
50. Getting closer. Are you ready for this? Every day, 100 million people log in to Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, that is one third of the United States population, almost. Last time I checked, I think there was around 340 million people living in, this is just in the U.S. 100 million people have the time to log into Facebook and check their status. I'm not preaching against Facebook, don't get me wrong. Okay? Just saying. Now they also ask the question, how many people read their Bible every day? It wasn't 100 million. Not even half. Not even 50 million. 40 million people say, "I read my Bible daily." See the shift? We've got time to go on Facebook. We've got time to do other things. But do we have time for the Word? See, we got to get our feet going in the right direction. Having God's Word in my life is not an option. It must be a priority. It enables me to discern the truth from the fallacies. It will help me stay on the right path. David said this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Number two, the name of Jesus. I've got to hurry. The first declaration of who Jesus is as a Savior of sins. The name that we rely on to forgive us of all that we've done wrong. Only Jesus can forgive us of our sins. Because only Jesus died for our sins. Doesn't matter how long ago my sins were. The blood of Jesus covers them all when I repent. Clap your hands if you're thankful for the name of Jesus. See, in 1 John chapter 1, it says this, if we confess our sins, He is and to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. He is faithful. God is a faithful God. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that doesn't take any day off? He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God that He will not only forgive me of my sin, but He will cleanse me, and I want to feel clean. I want to feel clean. I want to know that He's purified me and justified me. Amen. The name of Jesus is the peak of all the Old Testament names. Is the highest, most exalted name ever revealed to humanity. You and I that know the truth about the name of Jesus. The best name ever revealed to humankind. This name is the one that the Lord promised to reveal when He said in Isaiah, "Therefore my people shall know my name." Amen. Do you know His name? Amen. Do you call on His name? Do you rely on that name? Do you call that name over your life and plead His name over every situation you're facing? It's a landmark. It's a proven path. You have access to the name of Jesus.
Praise God. Amen.
You've got access to use the authority of Jesus' name. You have the, I feel something. You have the ability to claim healing in the name of Jesus. You don't need a preacher to lay his hand on you. I hope you're hearing. You don't need to wait till Sunday for the preacher to put some oil on your head. And I'm for all that. But you see, you yourself have access and the ability to call on that name. And that name works, doesn't it? That name delivers, doesn't it? That name will bring healing and bring peace to every situation, won't it? So call on that name. Because it's proven. We as a New Testament church should be identified by the name of Jesus. We are a people called by His name. If my people who are what? Shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. But you got to be called by His name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fall in love with the name of Jesus all over again. Signs and wonders are done by the name of Jesus. When we pray, when we make our requests known to God, we do it what? In the name. That's why I'm apostolic. Amen. Because when I say Jesus' name, I expect something to happen.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
When I say Jesus, I expect deliverance.
Amen.
When I say Jesus, I expect a healing.
Amen.
If my people who are called by my name. See, I've got the name on my side.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. Paul said it this way, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, to God and the Father by him.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
All right, I've got to hurry. I preached too long already.
Lord, I praise you, Jesus.
Last one.
Jesus.
Proven path. Number three, the blood of Jesus. You see, his blood carries significance in the fact that it is the only thing that carries the ability to cleanse us of our sins. If I give money to the poor, if I take time to volunteer at the soup kitchen, go down to the hospital and pray for the sick. All of those are good and wonderful things that I need to do. But none of them will bring me salvation.
That's right.
None of them will cleanse me of my sin.
That's right.
No.
Amen.
It's only the blood that can do that.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It is his blood that was shed for me. At Calvary.
Lord, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus.
To be forgiven.
Jesus.
I need to understand my need for his blood in my life.
That's right.
And without his blood, my sins will remain unforgiven.
Praise God.
It is not God's desire for me to live with unrepentant sin or in regret. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Power.
Hallelujah.
In the blood.
Jesus.
Soul-saving power. Sin-cleansing power.
Amen.
In the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It's proven. This blood has changed lives.
Hallelujah.
It changed your life, didn't it?
Amen.
It made you whole, didn't it?
Amen.
It called you out of darkness, didn't it?
Amen.
It brought deliverance in your life, didn't it? The blood carries power.
Amen.
So it's not his desire for me to live with unrepentant sins or regret. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
If I choose to live with regret of unrepentant sin, it is because I choose to ignore my need to be forgiven. Some people like to live with that kind of drama. Or maybe they're too afraid to face the pain. And regret is hard to face. So therefore I continue to live with my pain instead of allowing God to heal me and touch me, change me. I can choose to stay down in my failures. Or I can take the tools and the paths that God has given me and walk with him. The blood has not lost its power. It's not lost its ability to save. The issue is whether or not I will stay in my regrets or move on with what God wants to do in my life and confidently say the best is yet to come.
Amen.
It is time to be what God wants you to be. It's time to be where God wants you to be. It's time to be who God has called you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I may be young, but I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that if Enoch walked with God, I can too. If God could speak to Abraham and call him out of the land of Chaldees, then God can speak to me. If the prophets could lift him up and be used of God to speak to his people, then God can use me to speak to his people. If Samuel could hear the voice of God, that makes me feel good, because it took him 3 times to realize it was God talking to him and not Eli.
That's right.
But if Samuel can hear the voice of God, and it took him 3 times to get it right, then I can hear the voice of God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You hear God speaking to you this morning? I'm also old-fashioned enough to still believe in the cleansing power of the saving blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blood still carries the power to help you and I be overcomers. It gives us the ability to do what God has called us to do. The blood delivers. The blood heals. It carries us through our failures. It keeps us in right standing with God.
Amen.
See, he's already made a way for you to know the victory and healing in your life. He already paid the way. Your debt has been forgiven and paid for. He shed his blood for your benefit. The blood is what cleanses us. It's what makes healing possible. It has the ability to change the outcome of one's eternity.
Amen.
That's how powerful the blood is. So now is your opportunity to put your past under the blood. Does God really love us? Does God really care? You were to ask me that question, I will tell you, look at the crucified Jesus. Look at the old rugged cross. He loves you by every thorn that punctured his brow. He loves me by every mark of the back lacerating scourge. He loves me by every hair of his beard plucked from his cheeks by the cruel fingers of the Roman soldier. He loves me by every bruise which heavy fist made upon his head. Jesus said, I love you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Loves me by all the spit that landed in his face. By every drop of sinless blood that fell to the ground. By every breath of pain which Jesus drew upon the cross. He loves you. He loves me by every beat of his loving heart. He loved me when he hung his head and he said, "It is finished." If the musicians would come. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe you're going through something right now and you're a little confused. Maybe you've been seeking God this week for an answer to a prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe you're facing chaos that you've never faced before. I don't know what you're going through.
Praise God.
But I know Jesus has a solution.
Amen.
And I know that the name of Jesus works. And the blood of Jesus works.
Amen.
And that when I call on his name in prayer, He can do what I can't do. You see, Jesus can go beyond my limitations as a man. So now the choice is up to you and to me. To put it under the blood. To go to the Word. To listen for His voice. And to plead His name over the situation, over the trial. So don't walk away unchanged. Don't walk away without seeking an answer from God. Don't be deceived by saying, well, God will work it out. Jesus bids us to come. See, the healer is in the house. The way maker is here. You need strength in your body? Call on the name of Jesus. You need forgiveness for your sin? You're living with some regret? Why don't you plead the blood of Jesus right now? It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Would you come? Would you allow God to touch you this morning? Give Him the opportunity to make it right with Him. I don't know what you're going through, but give God a chance right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we need You.